This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Robert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. A deal of a century has been reached, so we are told, between Iran and some of the superpowers in the world. But is this deal really such an historical achievement? What is in store for Iran and, frankly, for the entire world? Before I go into answering this question a little bit, I have here a booklet which we have written about American and African nations and biblical prophecy. And in this booklet, we also talk about Iran and how the Bible explains to us what is in store for Iran. And please, you can order a free copy of this booklet completely, free of charge and without any obligations. Now, Reuters wrote on November 24 that even before this deal was reached, at the last minute, with the ministers already gathered in the room, an Iranian official called seeking changes. Negotiators for the global powers refused. Finally, the ministers were given the all clear. The deal, a decade in the making, would be done at last. Now that the interim deal is signed, talks are far from over. The deal was in part the result of months of secret talks held with Iran in such out-of-the-way places as Oman, with U.S. officials using military planes, site entrances, and service elevators. And Israel is extremely upset because they didn't know anything about those secret talks. And Saudi Arabia knew about secret talks, but they were not advised as to the details. And so you find this article in the Telegraph saying, a senior advisor to the Saudi royal family has accused its Western allies of deceiving the oil-rich kingdom in striking the nuclear accord with Iran. We were lied to. Things were hidden from us, he said. Now notice this article in the Financial Times, dated November 24. It says, yet within hours, both men, those who were the spokesmen for that deal, Mr. Kerry, and of course the Iranian president, they started to disagree on what the deal actually had accomplished. And it says in this article that, speaking just hours after the deal was announced, Mr. Rouhani declared that world powers have recognized the nuclear rights of Iran. However, this view was immediately rejected by Mr. Kerry, who gave a series of interviews in Geneva and claimed an Iranian right to enrich was not in this document. So the beginning even of this endeavor doesn't look too good. The New York Times wrote on November 23 that some experts, including a former official who has worked on the Iranian issue for the White House, said it was unlikely that Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, would ever close the door on the option to develop nuclear weapons. It goes on to say in this article that Iran did not agree to all of the intrusive inspections that the International Atomic Energy Agency has said was needed to ensure that the Iranian program is peaceful. So they allowed some inspections, but of course they are meaningless if they hide locations from the inspectors, or if they are being given advance notice, and then of course they can do whatever they want to do to hide what they actually are doing. The Daily Caller wrote on November 24 that Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, claimed victory over the United States Sunday, shortly after this agreement was announced. President Rouhani said Iran will continue. Notice this, it's nuclear progress, no matter whether the world wants it or not. This path to nuclear capability will, God willing, continue to the peak, he said. And this article points out that Iran has by now over 10 tons of low-enriched uranium, enough for several bombs. Now, you might have heard of Alan Dershowitz, a well-known liberal Democrat, also a civil rights and international law expert, Harvard professor. He was interviewed on November 24, and Breitbart had this to say. He criticized the nuclear deal with Iran sharply on Sunday, saying that it could become a Chamberlain moment for President Barack Obama. It's no surprise that the Iranians are jumping up in the air celebrating, and American experts are deeply divided as to whether this is a good deal or not. Of course, someone like Mr. Brzezinski says it's a good deal. He is the perfect litmus test. He is always wrong. If you look back at his history from the day he became an advisor to Jimmy Carter, I cannot think of one decision where he turned out right. Korea, Syria, the Arab Spring, the Palestinians, he is much worse than a broken clock, which is right twice a day. I challenge anyone to find any major issue of foreign policy on which he has been right over the past 4 years. The idea that the Obama administration listened to this man is remarkable to me. Where does this notion that he is a wise man come from? His history is one mistake after the other. And then Mr. Dershowitz goes on to say, this new deal increases the chance Iran will develop nuclear weapons. It increases the chance of an Israeli attack. It increases the chance Saudi Arabia will have to try to obtain its own nuclear weapon. It increases chances of a general arms race. Many people thought that British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain was correct in 1938 when he bartered an important part of Czechoslovakia for the hope of peace. He did not fully understand the great danger of Nazism and the great threat of a Nazi regime that had the Sudetenland. I think the Obama administration has failed to understand the evil of the mullahs. Iran was weakened by the sanctions. We have given them a great victory. Iran's goal has always been to create a wedge between Israel and the U.S. They are the smartest enemy the U.S. and Israel have faced in recent years. And so it shouldn't come as a surprise that JTA wrote on November 25 that Mr. Netanyahu reiterated on Sunday that Israel will strike Iran's nuclear program with or without U.S. approval if Israel deems it necessary. This agreement and what it means endangers many countries, including, of course, Israel, Netanyahu said. Israel is not bound by this agreement. The Iranian regime is committed to the destruction of Israel, and Israel has the right and the obligation to defend itself by itself against any threat. The Guardian added the following on November 24. If in another 5 or 6 years, a nuclear suitcase explodes in New York or Madrid, it will be because of the agreement that was signed this morning, the economy minister, Naftali Bennett, said. We woke up this morning to a reality in which a very bad agreement was signed in Geneva. And notice what the Washington Post wrote on November 24. Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman said the deal brings us to a nuclear arms race. The world has to understand that this is the biggest diplomatic victory Iran has had in recent years. There is no doubt the agreement recognizes Iran's right to enrich uranium. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, last week referred to Israel as the rabbit dog of the region and promised the Zionist regime is doomed to destruction. You see, it is amazing that a deal like that could be struck in light of the opposition, in light of the concerns of the entire world community. And also in America, there are grave concerns. Here's an article by Newsmax, dated November 24, saying that former CIA director Michael Hayden on Sunday criticized the Obama administration's deal with Iran, saying it will only delay, not derail, the country's nuclear program. Practically the worst of all possible outcomes, because now what you have here is a nuclear-capable state, Hayden said. And my fear is this interim agreement, which doesn't roll back much of anything at all, becomes a permanent agreement. And Newsmax also interviewed Senator Lindsey Graham, who said on Monday that despite the Obama administration's interim deal with Iran, the Senate would pass a bipartisan measure forcing sanctions against the nation until its nuclear capability has been completely dismantled. Graham is the latest in a growing line of Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill who oppose the deal with Iran. And the Obama administration has warned Congress not to move ahead with sanctions, but Graham's statement is the strongest yet that lawmakers are not willing to let the White House deal stand. And very briefly, what is the German reaction, some of it, to that deal? Now, Germany was part of this deal they struck over there in Geneva. The Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung wrote on November 25, Iran's concessions are significant, but don't mean the end of the nuclear program. It's worth noting that the sanctions imposed on Iran worked by causing the leadership in Tehran to embark on a charm offensive. If an instrument is working, one should not abandon it prematurely. And here's a quote from Die Welt saying this. So far, the Geneva Agreement is just a test of Tehran's seriousness. Everything, truly everything, now depends on Obama not getting carried away by grand, historic, global political visions. There must be complete certainty that Iran is opening up all its certifuges and letting the inspectors do their work without obstruction. There are too many historical examples of deceitful dictatorships and betrayed democracies not to remain very suspicious regarding Tehran. It's an exceedingly bold assumption that 6 months will suffice to achieve this certainty. The concerns are there. The Bible is very clear that something totally different is going to occur. Our free booklet on African and Middle Eastern nations in biblical prophecy explain to you what is in store for Iran. The fact that Iran will engage in a war against Israel. The fact that Iran will form a confederacy with Russia to fight against Europe. The fact that Iran will go into captivity. They will receive punishment. But the good news is that ultimately they will convert to God's true way of life. Now, if you want to know more about Iran, more about Russia, more about Europe, more about the United States of America, more about what the Bible is telling you what's going to happen, please read our free booklets on Middle Eastern and African nations in biblical prophecy. You might be surprised what you learn from the pages of your Bible. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.